This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
So there's a guy who went into business, and in his early years, he's very successful. At the end of each quarter, he makes a balance sheet, and he wants to make sure more is coming in than is going out. Every year he's happy, he's making a profit. One year it wasn't going well. Came to the quarterly report, he realizes he needs to make a change, but he pushes it off. Subconsciously, he tells himself, it's going to get better on its own. It didn't. He finally realized that unless he makes a major change, the business is going to fold. Now he can't sleep. He's nervous. He's uneasy. You know how sometimes when you're worried about something, so you're very tired, but you get up earlier than you need to? The guy could not get a full night's sleep. It was waking him up. Says Rav Shlomo Ehrenreich in the Lechem Simla, he says, that's why we say Slicha is either late at night or early in the morning. We're telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, we can't sleep. We're taking this judgment business very seriously. It's making us uncomfortable. It's making us a little nervous. It's making us uneasy. We're anxious. We're worried. We're tense. This past January, I had the chus to be on Har HaZeisim, to be at the kever of one of the all-time great Mekubalim, the Baal HaLeshem, Rav Shlomo Eliashiv, the grandfather of Rav Yosef Shalom Eliashiv. In fact, Rav Shlomo Eliashiv is considered the greatest all-time Mekubal, especially in the Kabbalah of the Vilna Gaon. Chafetz Chaim would tell people, get close to the Leshem now in this world, because in the next world, you ain't getting close to him. At his kavura on Har HaZeisim, Rav Ari Levine writes that as they were burying the Leshem, the sky opened up, a rainbow appeared that lit up the entire sky. Interestingly, the Leshem could not move his right hand unless he was writing Kabbalah, and as soon as he would write Kabbalah, he was able to write L'mala min ha-teva, fill up pages and pages and pages. In the Hakdama of the Leshem, Shara Klalim, there are many volumes, Rav Ari Levine records a brief biography about his personal experiences with the Leshem. Rav Ari Levine was Meshamesh the Leshem. Rav Ari Levine writes that one night, the first night of Slichos, he came in to watch the Hanhaga of the Baal HaLeshem, the first night of Slichos. He comes into the shul, and he sees the Baal HaLeshem standing there with his head bent over in utter shame, with his knees shaking in trepidation. And after a short amount of time, the Leshem comes, the Leshem sits down in his seat, and Rav Ari Levine quietly sits down next to him. He doesn't say a word, but his eyes are begging for an explanation. Rebbe, please explain to me your Hanhaga. Rav Shlomo Eliashiv said over the following very penetrating story. He says, in the times of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, he had a Talmud, the Menucha Kedusha, a Heligayid. The Menucha Kedusha, after he got married, he became a peddler to support the family, and he would sell tchotchkelach. He would have to travel for business, but he always made sure to come back by the first night of Slichos. One particular year, he built up a lot of debt. He needed to make a lot of money to pay back his creditors. He wasn't sure if he would make it back for the first night of Slichos. Finally, he amassed the money he needed and he made it back just in time. He walks in as the Chazan is saying, L'cha Hashem hatztaka v'lanu boishas haponim. You, Hashem, are righteous and shamefacedness is ours. And he's standing there before the Ribbono Shel Olam with utter busha, with utter shame. He says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I know I have many creditors, but I am an even greater debtor to you. As much money as I owe other people, I owe you so much more. He literally was so embarrassed and ashamed that this tzaddik could not move his head. He could not lift up his head in utter disgrace before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He felt like Ezra, that we say every day in Slichos, Elokai, boishti v'gam nechlamti laharim panai elecha. God, I'm ashamed to raise my face before you. Literally, the tzaddik cannot look, raise his eyes, he cannot utter another word, and he stood there paralyzed for the rest of the slichais. Says Rabbi Shalom Shlomo Eliashiv, this tzaddik, the menucha, kedusha, his entire life, he was mespalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to return to that madrega of busha that he experienced, that leil slichais, standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in utter shame. And then the Leshem tells Rabbi Ari Levine, this is my preparation for slichais, to feel a little bit of the busha that that tzaddik felt standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How far are we from these madrigos? Are we nervous at all before the Yom HaDin? Are we afraid? Are we scared? Do we lose any sleep over it? When we say slichos, are we embarrassed in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Are we ashamed of our averos? Or are we very complacent? You know what we're like? Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer's father-in-law, Rav Shraga Feivel Frank, was a big oisher. He used to lend money to a lot of aniyim. And often the debtors would renege on their obligations. And there was one particular debtor was capable of paying, and he just didn't. Rav Shraga Feivel's wife, Golda, comes on, knocks on the guy's door. She knew he could pay. She says, "Nu, pay up." Not only did he refuse, he says, "Get out of here, get lost, I don't want to see you again. Don't you dare ever knock on my door." She's appalled. She knew the guy had the money. She walked away. A week later, there's a knock on their door. It's that guy. He's knocking on their door. She figures he's here to pay off the debt. He says, "On Shulduk Mir, can I speak to Rav Shraga Feivel?" He comes to the door. "Can you do me a favor? Could you lend me $1,000? She's furious, hoping her husband would slam the door in his face. Says, "You know what? Not sure. Please come back tomorrow. I'll consider it." She's upset. She turns to him. He has the chutzpah, after being rude and insulting to me when he had the money and not paying me back, and now he's asking for another loan? Why would you consider it? Said Rav Shraga Feivel Frank, "That's what we do every year. Every year we come to Slichos, we say, 'Hashem, please give me another year. Please give me good health this year. Please give me nachas this year. Please answer my tefillos this year. And I will pay you back. You'll see how I daven this year. You'll see my dikduk b'halacha this year. You'll see how much more I learn this year. I promise, Hashem, I'm going to be different this year." And we renege even though we could pay. All of our promises that we made Yomim Naram, did we fulfill any of them? And then not only that, not only don't we pay, we have the chutzpah to come back again for slicha and say, "Ribbono Shalom, I need another year. I need good health. I need nachas. I need parnasa." L'cha Hashem hatztaka, v'lanu boishas aponim. So I have a book at home called Selected Essays, Rav Shimon Schwab. And he has amazing zichronos there, amazing memories there, that he writes he heard when he was a bacher in the Telz Yeshiva from Rabbi Elia Lapian. There's a famous Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara tells us the story of Niknar. Remember Niknar? Niknar donated the copper doors to the second Beis HaMikdash. And the greatest coppersmiths of the time, they lived in Alexandria. So Niknar goes to Alexandria, he procures the craftsmen, they produce the gates, and the only way to get it to Eretz Yisrael is by boat. So they're traveling on the boat, there's a horrific storm, the ship was about to be swallowed by the angry sea. The sailors don't know what to do, they only have one aid, so they take one of the doors and they dump it overboard, hoping to ease the burden of the ship, hoping to make the ship lighter. It didn't help. The ship was still about to capsize. The storm continued to rage. The sailors take the second door, and Niknar says over my dead body, "If you throw that door into the water, you're throwing me into the water. I will not weaken my grip on the door. Don't you dare touch the door." Says the Gemara, immediately a miracle happened. The storm stopped. The boat arrives at the port of Akko. And miracle of miracles, as they're arriving at Akko, they look into the water and the first door miraculously had floated all the way to Akko. somehow it attached itself to the bottom of the ship, and now they're holding the two doors. This is called Divrei Chachamim V'Chidoisam, the words of the sages and their riddles. What is the deeper meaning over here? Said Rav Shimon Schwab, he heard in the Tel Yeshiva when he was a bacher from the great Mashgiach Rav Elia Lapian. The Gemara is a mashal, the Gemara is an allegory. There are two gateways, there are two entrances to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first gateway is the gateway of the Tzadikim. Ze Hashar Lashem, Tzadikim Yavai Yavai. The gateway of the righteous. The second gate is the gate of Tshuva, the Sharei Tshuva. Like we say in Ne'ilah, Psach Lanu Shar, B'yes Ne'ilah Shar. Open for us the gate as the gate closes. There are two gates. The gates of the righteous and the gates of those who repent. 2,000 years ago, the Jewish people began a voyage on a stormy sea. But the mighty storm of Galus capsized one of our gates. We lost the gate of the righteous. There are no more righteous people anymore. We're going to say in Slichos, Avdu Anshei Amana, we lost the righteous. We lost the tzaddikim. The gate of the tzaddikim is gone. There's only one entrance. There's only one way to access HaKadosh Baruch Hu now. There's only one gate that we have to hold on to with every fabric of our being, because that's our last lifeline to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The gateways of tshuva. But Chazal tell us, Bezchus HaTshuva Yisrael Nigalen. Then the merit of tshuva, we're going to be redeemed. And miracle of miracles, when the Geula comes, we're going to notice that not only will we have, and not only will we be holding on to the gates of the repentant, we'll be holding the gates of the righteous. The gates of the righteous will return as well. That we never lost it. We just lost sight of it. We will have both gates. The gate of the tzaddikim and the gate of the righteous. This riveting explanation of Rav Elia Lapian was etched in the mind of Rav Shimon Schwab throughout his lifetime. Now, we always like to point out, you talk about tshuva, you talk about the journey of tshuva. We always like to point out, you know, if you study the tefillos, you notice that tefillos have a certain number of words. The Rishonim point out, every tefillah and every bracha has to have a certain number of words. How many words are in the bracha of tshuva? Hashivenu, avinu, l'sayrasecha, v'karvenu, ma'akinu, v'desecha. There are 15 words in the bracha of tshuva. Why are there 15 words in the bracha of tshuva, says the Torah. The Torah writes in Siman Kuf Tezvav that the 15 words in the bracha of tshuva describe to us the spiritual journey that we take when we engage in the process of tshuva. The Gemara says in Yuma Daf Pei Vav, Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Gedoyla tshuva shemagas ad kisei akavod, says the Torah as explained by the Beis Yosef. How many levels of Shemayim are there? How many levels of Rukia are there? There are 7 levels of Rukia. And between each level of Rukia, there's Avir. And between the Aretz and the first level of Rukia, there's Avir. And between the last level of Rukia and the Kisei Akavod, there's Avir. A total of 15 different intervals. A total of 15 different areas of process of tshuva. Says the Torah, how long does it take to traverse the area of tshuva? Each of these 15 areas, each one is 500 years. Which would mean if we would have started the process of traveling from the time the world was created until today, we wouldn't even have begun the journey. And yet, with one act of tshuva, one moment of tshuva, one thought of tshuva, it has the sheer speed and power to immediately reach right before the Kisei HaKavod, Hashivenu Avinu L'Sayrasecha V'Karvenu Malkenu L'Avodasecha V'Hachazirenu B'Shuva Shlema L'Fanecha Baruch Atah Hashem Haroitse B'Seshuva. That means you could be wallowing, drowning, sinking, trapped in the hopelessness of sin. And in a moment of tshuva, you catapult yourself to the most exalted level of existence. 1938, the hatred enveloping Klal Yisrael, everybody knew, looming devastation, looming destruction. So all the Admoirim and all the Rosh Yeshiva and all the Rabbanim in Europe gathered in Marienbad, which was a resort town, to discuss what mitzvah should they be mechazik in as a zuchus to fend off the looming gezerah. All the Gedolei Yisrael were present. Some Gedolim said more learning be'ion, tefillah, chesed, tzedakah, tznius. They're all legitimate. It was the last speaker who made the greatest impact. Rav Yosef Shloima Kahaneman, the Panovich Rav. The Panovich Rav, his yahrzeit was Friday. He ascends the podium, he looks over the audience. He's the final speaker. Says the Panovich Rav, this is all ridiculous. Let me tell you a story. There was a fire in Rav Yankel's house. And the townspeople gather, they're watching Rav Yankel's house go up in smoke. The fire is blazing, and then it dawned on them, hey, where's Rav Yankel? Where is he? Rav Yankel, I guess he must be inside. He must be inside. What are we going to do? So one guy said, get a ladder, go through the window. One guy said, front door, back door, side door, trap door. And then a chacham said, you fools! If Yankel is sleeping, you'll never get him out. Scream at the top of your lungs, wake him up, then he'll save himself. And then the Panovich Rav, like a lion, he roared out the Dvar Hashem, my entire breather. The ground we stand on is giving way beneath us. The fire is burning everywhere. We're surrounded by flames. You think you're going to find a zechus and it's going to ward off the Nazis? Klal Yisrael's verschlafen! They're sleeping! They're sleeping! Yiddish folk! Vech zechoif, you got to wake up! Nothing's going to save you unless you wake up! Scream until you wake up! Tyra breather, Yom HaDin is coming. Our lives are on the line. Our health, our children, our parnasa. The problem is, you're going to come to a little slichos, you're going to daven a little better. We're sleeping. I'm looking around, I see their phones on the table at a slichos. I'm sorry. That means, Farschluffin! If a guy has a phone on them during slichos, maybe start tomorrow. Don't even say it now. Don't say it, you're pater. That's sleeping. Where are you? What planet are you on? Bamas! Learn a little bit a day, daven a little bit, chap a little bit here or there, a line. If you don't wake up, no trap door, front door, side door is going to help. We're here to cry out to the Ribbono Shel Olam to wake us up, to shake us up. Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanon. We say, Hanesham alach, chusa. What does it mean, chusa? Chusa means Ribbono Shel Olam, have rachmanas on us, wake us up. May the Ribbono Shel Olam awaken all of us. May we awaken ourselves. May all of our tefillos be accepted.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.